This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive.
Now, we're so excited to welcome back on Drive our friends from Nichols Family Law on the first Wednesday of each month with our Law Talk segment. And joining us, we have the managing partner of Nichols Family Lawyers, Sally Nichols. Sal, it's great to see you again.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here and also live in the studio. What an amazing centre the Pride Centre is.
What do you think of it?
I'm beside myself. It's inspirational. It's welcoming. You just want to celebrate. It's great.
Now, today we're going to be talking about love.
Yes.
Tell us about.
Well.
How to fall in love. Oh, my goodness. Sally's got a new role. She's going to be a matchmaker.
Well, I wonder, we make jokes about whether or not, or my friends do, whether or not we could go from doing people's divorces and then try and pull some of our lovely, lovely clients into a dating app. I just don't know whether people are ready to do that straight away. There's always hope, but dating apps are really the way to go for those of a maybe younger generation, older generation.
I mean, and some people are on them for love. Some people are on them just for a bit of fun as well.
Yes.
Now, to be more specific, we are going to be talking about how to find love online via online dating apps and how the law can help us to do so in a safe and respectful way.
Which is really important. And doing a little bit of research for this topic today, I looked at a report from the Australian Institute of Criminology, and it was really disturbing. 3 out of 4 respondents to the survey said they were sexually harassed on online dating apps, which is really worrying, and 63% were LGBTIQA+ members.
Many of us, use these dating apps and are really happy with the whole experience, but like you just mentioned, there are some stories of some pretty horrid and even dangerous things that can happen online. What are some of the dangers, Sal, that people need to be aware of before they download an app and they get online and they start using it?
Well, they need to be really aware of privacy settings, and because I'm just so hopeless with technology, I think I'd be awful dating online. I'd be exposing all my private information, and so there are privacy settings that you can look at. You can look at the terms and conditions of these apps that are also really important, and also just adopt a few safety strategies. But the threats are really real, and the complaints that people have made include revenge porn, which I know people, it's quite topical at the moment, online abuse and threats, including threatening to out people, which is really awful, cyberstalking, doxing, which is actually
sharing
personal information. So if you're not clever with some of that private information, just sharing it out into the universe. So really awful forms of harassment using the cyber world.
So you mentioned in terms of privacy, checking the terms and conditions. But what about for someone, like myself who isn't, I'm not a lawyer. I don't necessarily understand all the speak and the terminology in those terms and conditions. Can we get caught up in that?
You can, but I think that there's some really good online advice, particularly with the eSafety Commissioner. So the eSafety Commissioner has wonderful platforms that not only look at what you can do if you have been harassed, sadly, but also some preventative measures.
So you mentioned some sensible steps to take as before you get onto an online dating app, and also, like we said, the terms and conditions, the Privacy Commissioner. But once a person has signed up, what else do they need to be aware of? I know you mentioned cyberstalking, you said doxing and what have you. Could you tell us a little bit more about some of these risks?
Sure. Well, look, revenge porn has been in the media quite a bit, and that's when someone shares or threatens to share intimate, nude or sexual images or videos of you without your consent. And unfortunately, it's revenge porn has become quite a significant concern when it comes to online dating. The cyberstalking occurs when a person keeps constant track of you online in a way that makes you feel uncomfortable, worried or threatened. So they could keep checking in on you and trying to get your attention even when you've made it clear that you're not interested. And sometimes it's worse. They may be repeatedly sending, posting or sharing unwanted sexual requests, abusive comments or false accusations about you, smearing your reputation, threatening you with sexual or other forms of violence.
I mean, they sound horrible. So, but in light of these potential dangers, what else can we do as part of keeping ourselves safe when we are using these apps? Because as you read those out, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm never going on a dating app again.
Well, yeah, it's scary and unfortunate when such a positive form of media can be corrupted in that way. So the app's got verification process. So some apps require users to verify their identity through social media accounts or a phone number to reduce the likelihood of fake profiles. There's that two-factor, that magical two-factor authentication that we seem to be using for all sorts of things, but it's an added layer of security which requires users to provide that second form of ID before logging in, and private mode. And this is a feature that allows users to control who sees their profile and limits the amount of personal information that's visible to other users. And of course, I think it's quite powerful, and I've said this to clients before, a reporting app blocking feature. And that's a powerful thing to do, is block people. Most apps have a reporting feature that allows users to report any suspicious or inappropriate behaviour. They can also block any user who makes them feel uncomfortable or unsafe. But I think it's so incumbent important, if you do actually find someone who's behaving inappropriately, you must report them, because you want to look after everybody, not only yourself. So remember, dating apps can be home to fake profiles or scammers who use the platform to take advantage of unsuspecting users. So even with verification processes in place, some individuals may still be able to create fake profiles, and it can be difficult for dating apps to monitor and remove all fake accounts unless they're reported by users. And also, be very careful if someone asks you to send money online. No matter how genuine it sounds, that person is probably a scammer.
Just on the private, I mean, I love the private mode, because people can't, you know, you do control who gets to see your profile as well. But in terms of, blocking profiles, so if someone, if you do come across bad behaviour, what we're saying is you just block them. So you don't even say, hey, look, don't call them out on their behaviour. The best thing is just get rid of them.
Absolutely.
All right, we'd like to take your calls. What's your experience with the dating apps? 1-300-569-949, and you'd like to come on the radio and share your experience. Maybe it's not as bad as what it seems. Maybe you've had a really good experience. Maybe you think you're in control. Get in touch.
Call now, 1-300-569-949.
I'm joined in the studio by Sally Nichols, managing partner of Nichols Family Lawyers, and we're talking about online dating and in particular how you stay safe. And we'd love to hear from you. You can text us 0427 569 949 or give us a call 1-300-569-949. I've got this one from Joel saying, if it wasn't for a dating app, I wouldn't have met my now husband, celebrating 1 year of marriage and 11 years together. What good. A beautiful story. How good's that? We've got Kylie from Melbourne on the line. Kylie.
Hi, Warren. Hi, Sally.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you both?
We're well, thank you. Now, you've got some strategies to help us keep safe online. Do you want to tell us about those?
I can. One of my strategies is to always get a mobile number, which you can actually verify via the Truecaller app. It's a free app and it reverse images the number so that you can actually verify that the person's name who you've been given is who you're actually speaking to.
Wow. So this awesome. Is, what's this app? So Truecaller app, so you get their mobile number.
Truecaller. It's a free app. You just pop their number in and it says who that number is registered to. So if I think I'm speaking to Barry and then it comes up as someone totally different, that causes concern for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's my first step. And then I generally screenshot the profile picture, save the number down, and then I give that to my best friend, meet the person in a public place, and my best friend has their photo and their number, and then I do a 30-minute check-in. Just so that they know then where I am, who I'm meeting, and if the date's going well, they're aware.
Do you tell your friend where you're meeting them?
Always, always. And I generally meet at the same bar because I know the bar staff and I'm comfortable there.
I love it. I love self-determination here. Well done.
I'm a single woman who dates online regularly, and you do have to protect yourself because you don't know who's out there and who you're speaking with. I try and always speak to the person before I meet them in real life on the phone.
Kylie, have you had any bad experiences?
I've had lots of bad experiences, but none where my safety was concerned, and I think it's because I do put these steps in place. If I feel uncomfortable, I just pretty much get up and leave. I always go in with an exit strategy, so generally there's a fake barbecue that I have to attend.
I want to read your prospective dates. I'm listening to this. I was like, oh, she had the barbecue with me. Yes.
Sorry to say, I've been to a lot of fake barbecues. Let's put it that way.
I tell you what I used to do. Sally and Kylie, I'd say, I've got to go to the toilet, and then I'd go to the toilet and I'd text my friend and say, can you ring me and say, oh my goodness, there's an emergency, you've got to come now, and then the phone would ring and then I'd say, look, I'm so sorry, I've got to go.
I just love that scene in Sex and the City where Charlotte says to Carrie, and I think in her then boyfriend, something bad's happened, can you ring me in 30 minutes and say something bad's happened, and then she gets the call 30 seconds later, something bad's happened. I've got to go.
That's really good. Kylie.
Maybe I'll introduce that one next time.
Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in. We'd love to hear from you. 0427 569 949. Some great tips there from Kylie from Melbourne. Sally, despite a person's best efforts to keep themselves safe while looking for love online via the apps, we all know that things can go wrong, and sometimes quite badly. In such dreadful circumstances, Sal, how does the current laws seek to protect people?
Well, recently, to try and keep up with issues like the sexual abuse online and also revenge porn, there's been discrete changes to our Crimes Act. So ringing the police is actually, and to talk about it, you can actually feel reassured there are specific crimes now in the legislation that addresses this type of behaviour that weren't there before. Of course, there are personal protection orders, for example. And one of the things that I think we really need to think about is just the role of the eSafety Commissioner with these dating app companies. So there are obligations to make sure these online platforms are safe for people. And if they aren't protecting people and not being responsive, they're actually large fines that can be implemented by the eSafety Commissioner. And a lot of this is online. It's really interesting. But some of the fines, civil penalties imposed, for example, there's a takedown notice and the company's not taking it down. These fines can be up to $111,000 for individuals and $555,000 for companies. So if to report any form of online harm to the eSafety Commissioner, you go to their website, and in the top right-hand corner, there's actually a landing page with a red triangle with the words report abuse.
What sort of information would you have to give them, Sally? Like we just spoke to Kylie from Melbourne, who said she gets their phone number and takes a photo of them. Would that sort of information and capturing that sort of information help with the report to the e-commissioner?
Oh, I think Kylie from Melbourne's a machine. She's got it all happening, isn't she? But the sort of information they want from you is the service or platform used to send or share the harmful content, the web page address where the harmful content appeared, the usernames of the accounts, the URLs, the profiles used to target you, the times and dates the content was sent or shared, and screenshots of the offending content, and any other information, like the information Kylie collected, that you think might be important. It can be really distressing to have to consider doing this when all the person understandably wants is for the content to be removed, but that sort of information will help and try and achieve that result and hopefully protect other people too.
We're chatting to Sally Nichols from Nichols Family Lawyers about online dating and how to stay safe. Paul has messaged in and says, are you aware some apps require you to be a paid member before it allows you to block people unlimited? So once you get to their limit and you can not block anymore. So it sounds like you've got a certain number of blocks you can do. If you're not a paid member, then you have to stop there and then you can't block them. So would you say, Sally, if you can afford it, it's best to become a paid member to have that feature in that case?
Well, perhaps, but I think Paul's raising something that the eSafety Commissioner would like to be aware of. I think it's such an amazing and vast platform, and it's designed and funded to protect the community. I think that'd be a really interesting comment to ring the commissioner and reach out and say, look, can they actually lobby companies, and they're working with them all the time to keep their platform safe. I think that's a really great point, Paul, because in a way, to have to pay to be safe isn't ideal.
So if you'd like to get in contact, 0427 569 949 is the number. Paul also says, I started using distances and checking on a particular suburb to realise that it was the same person who was contacting him all the time. So It's a shame when you have to go into an app, though, Sal, and you've got to do all this detective work to try and see if someone is real, isn't it?
It is. And we've all heard about catfishing, which is just awful when people pose and pretend to be other identities. Again, I guess we don't want to ignore the fact that it can be a wonderful platform. We had that romantic message before and to meet people. And I know friends have said to me, well, it's better than just meeting someone at a party randomly. You've got a little bit of information. You can actually screen appropriately. But also, too, I think it's hard because you don't get to meet people's peers and friends, which also is a social screening process that we do as well normally.
I feel like, I often say to myself, I feel lucky because, I suppose I was meeting people in a world where there were no apps and then when there were apps. So I've seen the best of both worlds, and I think it's really good to have both worlds and to there are positives.
You don't have a preference?
No, I don't think so. I can see pluses and minuses, but I'm certainly wary of the online apps and how you treat them, and today's conversation has certainly made me aware on how to be safer. Sal, are there any other key sets of laws people can rely on to help keep themselves online?
Safe online. Well, it's really, in terms of the criminal penalties, it's really actually looking at the Enhancing Online Safety Non-Consensual Sharing of Intimate Images Act, and just being aware that there are now specific laws to prohibit the posting of or a threat to post an intimate image without consent on a social media service. I really do urge people to go, if they can, to the eSafety Commissioner and actually work with the eSafety Commissioner and their website, or if not their service providers, to talk about your situation if you think it's not covered. If it doesn't feel right, if it feels intimidating or harassing, then it likely is that there's a response that's there that's appropriate and will protect you in the future and also deal with the conduct now. But I do think from some of the awful fatalities or assaults that we've heard about from online dating, it's really incumbent, if you have got an awful experience, to not let it escalate to the next person, to report. Be robust about reporting.
Are there instances, Sally, where we should involve the police and call 000?
I do believe so. Like I said, they've now got specific criminal penalties that deal with not only getting what we know colloquially as intervention orders or personal protection orders, really, for this type of behaviour, but also too, there's other criminal penalties now for online imaging that's offensive and harassment. So I think it's really important to reach out to the police. They'll be educated about it as well.
And now, it's good to know that there are these options, Sal, but there seems to be so many reports of the law not keeping people safe, and in particular of dating app companies not necessarily following the rules. So from a legal perspective, what more needs to be done?
Well, I think that we really do need to look at the current discussions. The federal government in January this year held a national roundtable on online dating safety. So the attendees at the roundtable include representatives from the online dating industry, state and territory governments, law enforcement, academics, NGOs, and topics included how to get online companies to make their platform safe and better ways to support people who experience harm as a result of online dating. And since that roundtable meeting in January, there's been various reports in the media of online dating apps taking steps to improve safety via improved reporting and complaints procedures. It's also been reported that the federal government has asked the top 10 dating services in Australia to provide information about the number of reports on sexual harassment or abuse received, the actions each site has taken in response, the processes that platforms have taken to prevent banned users from accessing new accounts. Also, the roundtable, there have been reports that the eSafety Commissioner has taken steps, including encouraging dating apps to work together once they detect bad actors to share that information. So there's definitely movement, but I think we need to be part of that process. We need to report. We need to be quite active, as well as users, to make sure that it's safe for everybody to keep that momentum going. It's a collective effort.
We've got another message coming in saying, what about keeping us safe from the apps themselves? One app would keep you hooked with fake accounts accounts liking you to convince you to be a paid member. They obviously make vast amounts of money from this feature. And how do we know what's real?
Oh, that's really upsetting, isn't it? I think that's, again, something, if we think it's quite unique and it's something that you've discovered, definitely report it to the eSafety Commissioner. It's obviously high on their agenda, high on government agenda, but these types of reports and nuances really need to be reported to the eSafety Commissioner. Let's get it happening. Let's keep it a safe platform.
Definitely. Now, before we wrap it up, another one. Curious about the variation in risk between the heterosexual community and the queer community when it comes to dating on the apps, and we had some statistics earlier.
We did. As I said before, I was quite shocked that 63.4% of the reports and research we did are from the rainbow community, as opposed to 43% in relation to heterosexuals. So really interesting there. I'm wondering whether those forms of sexual abuse, as I said, one of the categories was being called out and being outed online or threatened to out somebody, which is shocking in a form of abuse and harassment. So to unpack that again, I think reports to the e-commissioner about any online harassment you receive, it's so important to identify it in that way.
Sal, thank you so much for today, and we look forward to seeing you next month on the first Wednesday of May, just after the 4:30 p.m.
Monday.
News for our next instalment of Law Talk. Sally Nichols, thank you so much.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Sally Nichols is the managing partner of Nichols Family Lawyers.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Joy Drive with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.